you're turning in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, that's going to be our lesson text for the evening this evening. The sermon this evening springs out of a sermon request. The individual asked me, a brother asked me at some point if I would do a sermon on what it means to be a Christian. Pondering this and examining this question, I realize that to a large degree, this isn't going to be exhaustive. In 1 Peter chapter 1, this question is answered within the body of the text. We're going to read the entire chapter, but we're going to make application to those specific answers to that question. What does it mean to be a Christian? We're going to find that here in the first chapter of 1 Peter, that references made, allusions are made to Christians. In point of fact, that is who Peter is writing to in both this and the second epistle of Peter, known as 2 Peter. Begin with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, where the Bible says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied." Notice first, if what it means to be a Christian, it means that we are one of the elect. The word elect there is from a Greek word that can also be translated to choose, to select, is translated elect. Within our text here, the idea of election finds much error in the denominational world. There are those in the denominational world that say that to be one of God's elect, that is totally contrary to any act of obedience, any part that the individual would play in regard to that. This is something mysterious and ethereal and something God lays on one. One is chosen before the foundation of the world to either be lost or saved, and that number is so fixed that it cannot be added to or diminished from. It's not as hard as some people make it what the Bible teaches about election. God lays out the qualifications for those whom He elects. When we do those things, we become His elect or His chosen. One preacher would always describe being the elect of God, because we elected to obey God, He elected to save us, and we became one of His elect. Notice here, it says, "elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit." How does the Spirit sanctify, to set apart an individual? It is through the Word. "Unto obedience." That is the requirement to being sanctified, to being one of the elect, is obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not an individual election. It is those that have been obedient to the Word of God that one is sanctified, set apart, and that one is one of the elect. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 4. Just briefly, we can't spend too much time on these points, but this, I believe, helps. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Notice that these blessings in Christ, it says we have been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. That here is the criteria to being one of the chosen. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And what this is saying is, one is chosen. God chooses those who are in Christ. It does not say that God chooses those who should be in Christ. That takes away free moral agency. To be one of the chosen, or in our text here in 1 Peter, to be one of the elect, one has chosen to obey God and to live according to His will and to His Word. So, in the first point, what does it mean to be a Christian? We see, firstly, that we are one of the elect. Because we have elected to obey God, we are one of His elect. Continuing in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What does it mean to be a Christian? Here Peter points out it means that we have hope. That hope is heaven, eternal life, and inheritance, verse 4, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Notice this. Where is this reserved? This is reserved. This is in safe. This is held, held in safe keeping, in heaven, for you, for the chosen, for the elect, for the Christian. So, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that we have hope. It is kept, being guarded by the power of God. Verse 5, Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the power of God here is God's part. He has given man his word, God's part. Then verse 5, it says, by the power of God through faith. That's man's participation. That is our obedience to the word unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So here in the first two points, we've seen that what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that we are one of the elect, and it means that we have hope. Well, let's read on what Peter has to say. Verse 6, wherein ye rejoice greatly though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Just briefly, what does it mean to be a Christian? Here we see that we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to have our faith tried, just as those that Peter's writing to here. The Christian must reject the idea that a certain trial is completely useless or that no good can come from hardship. That is not what the Bible teaches. In James 2, verse 2 beginning, there James wrote, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or divers trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. One person said, maintaining loyalty throughout trials, enduring without faltering, shows unmistakably steadfastness in faith. Gold is tested and refined by fire. Faith tested by trials enduringly is more precious than gold in this. Gold itself will perish, but the faith that endures will eventuate in praise to God and honor and great glory to the victor at the appearing of the Master when he comes to take up his jewels, crown the obedient, and take his ransomed home to their inheritance. End of quote. There is benefit in suffering trials, in suffering hardship, even in suffering persecution. Will we suffer persecution? Well, remember, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Or immoral men will always persecute those who live godly. But what a small price to pay when we are serving our Master. So, what does it mean to be a Christian? We will endure persecution and trying of our faith. Reading on in verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have now preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Pause. Notice what he said. How did he describe these Christians in verse 14? As obedient children. So, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that we are obedient children. The outstanding quality of any Christian should be our obedience to God. Sonship cannot exist without obedience. That's what Christ taught. We must obey the will of God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7, verse 21. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we would love Christ, if we would love the Lord, if we would love our Heavenly Father, we will be obedient to His commands. As obedient children, Christians, we will conduct ourselves as becomes the children of God by obeying His commands, submitting to His wills, and manifesting an unwavering confidence in God as our Father, Christ as our Savior at all times. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Here again, Peter points out that we are obedient children. Now as we read on, the last part of verse 14 we'll reread. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What does it mean to be a Christian? We are to be holy. A holy God deserves our conformity to His will and our obedience to Him, not the world. God is holy, and those who profess to be His people must also manifest a holy life. Now, when we use the word holy comes from a Greek word that means to set apart or separation. It's a separation that has to do with being set apart for the service of God. This is the same word in noun form translated as saint. And we know that Christians are described as saints. We are set apart for God. We are called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. And when we are called by the gospel, we are to be holy. We are to imitate God and Christ who is holy. We must learn to separate ourselves from the things we practiced before becoming Christians. Let's ask ourselves, can people look at our lives and our demeanor and our practices and see a distinction, a separation between us and the world? Or is it the case that they can't tell where the world ends and the Christian begins? Now, to be sure, we live in the world, but we are not of the world, just as Christ described the apostles in John chapter 17. But we are to be not of the world. We are to be separate from the world. God has called us. He has called us to be holy because God is holy. We are His children. God is our Father. Every obedient child seeks to please as far as in him lies, strives to be like their Father in character and in conduct. His obligation and duty, we as children of God, as Christians, are to be holy, for these rest upon our relationship which exists between father and child. Just as a child will seek to emulate, be like their father. How many of us have seen our children when they were young probably mimic the things that we were doing, or play like, pretend like they were working on a toy lawnmower they had when we were working on our lawnmower, imitating the things that we saw, or that they saw us do, excuse me. We are to be holy because our Heavenly Father is holy. He is separate from sin. He is separate from the world, just as we should be. Now, we still have jobs and obligations in the world. Like I said, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're not to be worldly minded. We are to be separated from the world. The holy character to be exhibited in everything we say or do, our whole manner of living, our behavior in every respect is to be holy. What does it mean to be a Christian? We are to be holy people. As we read on, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What does it mean to be a Christian? We're sojourners. We are pilgrims. We are strangers upon the earth. To sojourn is to travel in a strange land, not make a permanent home. We are in a temporary state here. Do you remember what Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 20, reading from the American Standard Version? For our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to the end of our life, we wonder where the time went. The time we spend on earth should be spent in godly living, knowing that God will judge us for what we do. We are just temporary sojourners here. We're just passing through this life. But we will give an account to God for how we have lived here. This is just temporary existence, this veil of soul making. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, which we talked about this morning. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. But notice this. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Notice what Peter had said about Christians. We pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. Reverent awe, yes. But a little bit of fear, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We will stand before Him in judgment. We are going to give an account while we are strangers and pilgrims on this planet. We will ultimately leave this place, but the thing we can look forward to is there is something better. It means that this life is just temporary and transient. The things that we endure here are trials and tribulations and the sorrow and the sadness and the tears we shed and the saying goodbye to loved ones when death has claimed them. That will all be done and over with in the hereafter. If we've been found faithful and we'll end up in heaven, we will have every tear wiped away. In contrast to the other place that we talked about this morning, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But we sing a song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me beyond heaven's door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm sort of paraphrasing that song somewhat. But it carries the idea of every Christian. What it means to be a Christian is that we are sojourners. We are temporary here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our names are enrolled in heaven. Reading on in verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. What does it mean to be a Christian? Notice what he says here. We have been redeemed. Now, when he says we have been redeemed, that carries the idea back to the Old Testament. You remember in the Old Testament that if a person had sold themselves into bondage, or they were under bondage under the Old Testament law, a near kinsman could go and purchase them out of bondage, whatever the case may have been, whether it was a debt that was owed, or so forth. There were different criteria that you could actually, to settle a debt, or for other criteria, you could go into servitude. But you could have a near kinsman come and buy you out. That's the imagery here that Peter is using. Mankind was in the bondage of sin. We couldn't buy our way out. We had no way out. We owed a debt that was unable for us to ever pay. Because to pay that is the requirement of being in eternity in hell, and it will still never be paid because it's eternity. But God, in His love and mercy, sends His Son. His Son will die on a cross. He will give His precious blood that we will be redeemed. That is to be set free by a payment. But it wasn't silver and gold from our empty, vain conversation, our manner of life. It wasn't exactly like that in the Old Testament, because there was no gold exchanged. What was given for our redemption? Something far greater, something far more precious. Not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says that we are bought with a price. Well, what was the purchase price of our soul's salvation? What bought us out of the bondage of sin? The blood of Christ. If we are a Christian, it means that being a Christian, that we have been redeemed, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is through His precious blood that our souls have forgiveness of sin. And then reading on. Who verily was found, foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. What does it mean to be a Christian? Our last point. It means that our souls have been purified. Christians have purified their souls by bringing ourselves into subjection to God in obedience to what allows us to access God, who will purify our souls. It's impossible to become a Christian without obeying the truth. Notice in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls, how, Peter? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. It is the Spirit that gave the Word of God. And it is through obedience to that truth that one's soul is purified. Verse 23, he repeats himself. It's sort of a Hebrew dualism going on here. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Did you ever read in John 3, verse 5? Let's parallel this for just a second. Look with me at John 3, verse 5. Hold your place there. In John 3, verses 3 through 5, remember, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And in John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here Jesus describes the fact of the new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, experience the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, not understanding, having a physical mindset, in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus now gives him the details of the new birth. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is the medium? Water. There are many people, even opposed to baptism, recognize this is a reference to baptism. Now, some do not, that are opposed to baptism, but it's a clear reference to baptism. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? What will tell us what is required? How do we know that baptism will wash away our sins? How do we know that the blood of Christ is contacted in the waters of baptism? It's through the Word. It's through the gospel. That's the gospel message, that Christ gave His precious blood for mankind, and that in baptism we are baptized into His death, and there we contact the blood of Christ. We are baptized in Christ, into Christ, and it is in Christ we contact His blood. So you parallel these two when it says in John 3, 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now notice verse 23, back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Being born again, same ideas going on here. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What are you talking about, Peter? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Over here is the source, the Spirit. Over here is the product, the word of God. Can we be born again, except it be by obedience to the word of God? No, we cannot. We have to obey the Word of God. We have to obey the will of God. In obeying the truth, verse 22. One cannot become a Christian by saying the sinner's prayer. One cannot have his sin forgiven by just saying the sinner's prayer or going to the mourner's bench or some of these other popular things that you hear on the TV or maybe on the radio. Only by obeying the truth, only by obeying the gospel can one be born again. and baptism is included in being born again. Remember, the gospel is facts to believe, commands to be obeyed, and promises to enjoy. We are purified, we are sanctified as a result of obeying the gospel. It's not mystical. Rather, one hears the gospel, believes that Jesus is the Son of God, turns from a life of sin, repentance, confesses Jesus Christ, and submits to the command to be baptized. That is when one is born again. Where do you find these steps in the plan of salvation? In the Word of God. The truth. The New Testament. It's all synonymous. So this is what we can say from what Peter's just said. What does it mean to be a Christian? We have our souls purified. We have obeyed the truth. We have been born again. If we are Christians. And that includes baptism. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means that we are one of the elect. It means that we have hope. It means that we will indeed be persecuted. That we are obedient children. We are to be holy, set apart from the world. We're just sojourners on this old planet. We're just passing through. This is not our permanent home. We have been redeemed. A great price has been paid for our soul salvation. And our souls have been purified by obeying the gospel, the truth, the Word of God. This is just part of what it means to be a Christian. I found it amazing that I found this, that this was in the first chapter of Peter, and I could answer at least partly that question by that this brother asked, that I can answer that question, what it means to be a Christian. And this is all true. But Christians have hope. Christians have been redeemed. Christians have their souls purified. Question, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you aren't a Christian, do you desire to have that? That is what the Word of God teaches. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that Christ came, died, and gave His precious blood, sealed the new covenant, the gospel. That reveals the terms of pardon that God has presented to mankind. Oh, now, it's not going to be easy sometimes. Sometimes we'll be persecuted as followers of Christ. Sometimes it will be difficult. Sometimes we will stumble, but hopefully we won't fall. But we seek to live according to His will and His way, that we have hope of eternal life, of heaven in the hereafter. That's only promised to Christians. Eternal life is only promised to the followers of God. Not just for every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Joe out here, out in the world. Do you wish to have hope, be redeemed, have your soul purified? You have to be an obedient child. You have to obey the truth, verse 22. You have to be born again, verse 23. Scriptures clearly point out that one must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8, verse 24. Repent of a life of sin, Luke 13, verse 3. Confess the name of Jesus Christ, Matthew 10, verse 32. And be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Mark 16, verse 16. Is that your need this evening? If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, when you read passages like this, and writing this sermon and preparing for this sermon was great encouragement to me. Encouragement, I hope that I passed on to you in what it means to be a Christian, where we stand, and what it means to be a follower of God. If you do not or have not followed God, if you are not a Christian, you have none of these blessings. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel in time past, and you have left the Lord, you have left His will, you have left His way, you've turned your back on the truth. You're no longer an obedient child. You have went your own way. You're not following the Lord anymore. You can repent and come back, erring child of God. You can ask for the prayers of your brothers and sisters. We will pray with you. We will pray for you that the thoughts of thine heart might be forgiven thee. Maybe you need the prayers of the saints for strength and comfort as we go through this pilgrimage of life. Whatever you need might be spiritually, come forward as together we stand and we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey, come, for He loves. step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified, casting your heavy burden down. Come to the cross, the world may frown, yet you shall wear a glorious crown when he makes up his own. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified, open for you the pearly gate. Loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought, to cry too late. Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the